25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? That's a good question. That's a very important question. He said unto him, What is written in the law, and how readest thou? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. I got issues with that. But I really got issues with this next statement. And thy neighbor as thyself. Wasn't there anybody here ever loved their neighbor as yourself? I mean, really, think about it. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. He said, You got the right answer. This do, thou shalt live. And he, willing to justify himself, that's where a lot of us live. We try to justify that, what we're doing or saying. Who is my neighbor? What he asked Jesus. And Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down from Jericho to Jerusalem. And he fell among thieves, stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise the Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast. Brought him to an inn, took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host. And said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. You may be seated. Thank you for standing, honoring the reading of the Word of God this morning. You know, there's a lot of things in Acts or in Luke 10 that we could try to preach out of this morning. So many great thoughts and truths. This lawyer stood up tempting him or to try him. And he asked him the question, What shall I do to inherit eternal life? There's nobody that ever inherits eternal life. You must be born again. But Jesus said, Just to settle the question to you, if you'll live by the law and do it, then you can go to heaven, pretty much what he said. But you see, as this lawyer tried to justify himself, Jesus knew he could not live the law. This Bible says to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, and all thy mind, and to love our neighbor as ourself. You know, it would have been so much easier as if this lawyer would have said, Lord, I can't. And that's all Christ was really looking for, was for him to get honest. Instead of trying to justify himself and say, Lord, I can't live this, but I'd ask you to have mercy and grace on me and save me. And his life would have changed. That reminds me of a population today trying to justify their doings. Justify their feelings. And we all have a manner of that. We try to justify what we do in our hearts. We try to justify that, how we do things in our home. But yet, Only the Word of God brings justification to the heart of sinner. And Jesus now has painted this picture really for one reason, to show this lawyer who his neighbor was. That was his main thrust of this great parable, and there are 40 of those in our Bible. But I want to preach out of a truth today, and I want to preach on the Jericho Road of the similarities to Jesus and us. Similarities to Jesus and us on the Jericho Road. Now, watch your Bibles. First of all, the Bible says in verse 30, there was a plummeting down. He simply said that there was a man from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves. There was a plummeting down. Now, I want to ask you, as we correlate this message with the prodigal son that left the father's house, I wonder what made a man leave Jerusalem, where the city of God and the presence of God was, to go down the Jericho Road. It brings me to this thought. First of all, there was a decision made. Then there was a departure. But you always remember this, honey, before you ever leave a heavenly place and go to a bad place, it's not departure first, it's decision. People that's walked out of your life, it didn't start by departure, it started by decision. And we better make our decisions based on the Word of God, because the Jericho Road is a bad place to be this morning. I don't want to leave the presence and the place of God. There are many that do, but you'll notice this with departure. And you always remember this. Those that have walked out of the church have left the worship of God. Departure's not what took them out. It was a decision. It's always a decision before departure. Matter of fact, some of you got your mind made up on things, but you better be sure it's biblical. Because you'll try to justify and reason things out that goes against the Word of God. Let me tell you, when a man raises up against me and accuses me and gets in my face, let me tell you, now I just want to be honest with you, it's hard for a redneck to take that kind of goings on. I try to justify, well, he did that to me. Jesus said, love my neighbor as myself. So I try to justify things of the flesh. Then we have this cop out many times. Well, that's in me. Well, there's a lot of stuff in us that needs to be killed. It's in me too, but I got to be careful that it don't come out. So there is a decision. There is a departure. He leaves a high place and he goes to a low place. And so that takes me, not only is there a decision and a departure, but there's a danger. The Bible said that he fell among thieves. Young people, this world is a wicked place. Mom and daddies, you need to know where your children are, what your children are doing, who they're running with, the exposure that they have. I ask you this, how did he know to leave Jerusalem? Wonder, did he get a text? Wonder, did he get an email? Wonder, did he see something on Facebook that enticed his heart to make a decision to leave from Jerusalem to Jericho? Be careful what you're watching, what you're hearing. And so there was a plummeting down. The Bible said, now, we don't know how low he fell, but we do know that he fell among thieves. I've noticed when I fall, I'm pretty low. Now, this morning, it reminds me from a fall that happened in the Bible. Can I tell you that we are all sinners, born sinners, because of a fall? the fall that happened in the Garden of Eden. You don't have to run Ancestry.com to see where your lineage goes. It goes all the way back to the garden where Adam sinned against God. And as the preacher preached last Sunday morning, he cried by grace and said, Adam, where art thou? There was a fall. And so that's why all mankind has to be saved. We have an old nature in us, the fallen nature. You say, oh, not me, preacher. Well, some of y'all, a car run out in front of you on the way to church, and you done got your window rolled down, got your fists run out at them. Nobody's got to teach you to do that. They got to teach you not to do that. Because of the fall, you don't have to teach your children to lie or do bad things. You got to teach them from not lying and doing bad things. Because of the fall, it's our nature. Now, there's some more gentle than others. There's some real abrasive people and all different kinds of people. But when we all look down in our hearts, the Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. And so I'm going to tell you, at times you can't even trust your heart. You can't trust your conscience. Your conscience can become seared. But I tell you what you can trust the Word of God. And so, there was a plummeting down. But secondly, verse 30, there was a piling on. The thieves jumped on him. He said, how do you know they jumped on him, preacher? Well, the Bible said that he fell among thieves. Sound like he is pretty low. And honey, I've noticed when you're in a low place with thugs and thieves, they don't help you up. They just pile on and strip you of everything that God's ever given you. There was a piling on. That's the way this world is, like a bunch of mad dogs. They're in a big rat race, chasing their tail in one big circle, going no place. There was a piling on. He was battered. He was bruised. He was bleeding. They mistreated him. And I want to say today, you may be here and you're going down this Jericho road. And I'm going to tell you, life is hard on the Jericho road. It's hard enough staying at Jerusalem. But honey, I don't want to get down on the Jericho road. There was a plummeting down. There was a piling on. But then notice that I read, there's a passing by. Because the Bible simply said, verse 31, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, the Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. There was a passing by. You'll notice there was one man that was full of religion. He was a priest. The thieves had broken down this man on the Jericho road. They had left him for dead, and there was a priest. Religion come by and passed by on one side, and he looked at him, and he passed by. There's no Baptist preacher can save you this morning. There's no Catholic priest can save you this morning. But honey, let me tell you, you'll notice now not only religion passed by on one side, but down comes a Levite. He knew all about the law. His practice was to bring everything they needed to worship at the temple. And as that priest had left and went by, and that Levite, boy, I just had a thought too. Ain't it something? But they was on the same road as he was. Amen. Amen. That's the way religion is, honey. They're on the same road. They're wicked and undone and lost without Christ. But I'm glad it's hope in God this morning. That's why every man's got to be saved. Honey, you've learned this Bible inside and out. You can give all your money to the poor unless your name is written down in glory. Hell will be your home. They're on the same road. I never noticed that. And so one passed by on one side. Now, I'm not a real smart feller, but I ask you this. The Bible says the other passed by on the other side. And I think it's a great illustration this morning in our building. Here is Brother Rodney and Brother Tim sitting on this side. There's Brother Lee and Brother Randall sitting on that side. You see, there was a plummeting down. There was a piling on. There was a passing by. But now all of a sudden, when one's on that side, another on this side, there was a pulling up. Here comes a good Samaritan. He come right down in the middle of things. Can I tell you, Christ is used to being in the middle. There was two thieves on the cross, and Christ was in the middle. Can I tell you, Jesus knows what it is to be right in the middle of your situation. I'm glad He's not guessing or wondering what He needs to do, but He knows what He needs to do. There's a pulling up. I'm glad one day Jesus pulled up where I was. I tried religion. I tried rituals. I know to go to church every Sunday. This is the issue, and you better listen to this old country preacher because it's really been put in my heart and my spirit in the last few months. A lot of you, all you know about the God of this Bible is what you hear on Sunday. You better get your relationship on Monday through Saturday, honey. I'm talking about a God that'll go to bed with you and get up with you, brush your teeth with you, go to supper with you. You better get saved by the grace of God. There's pulling up. I like what he done, and I'm trying to get to my message. There's a pouring in. Now, before this plate, I hold any water. I can take all that water in that bottle, and I can turn this upside down. Ain't nair drop going in that plate. But you turn it up. The Bible said He poured it in. I'm glad the day that God saved us, He put something in us. The Bible said He poured in oil and wine. Now let me explain. Oil is a representation of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. Don't let the word Holy Ghost rock you this morning. Because without the Holy Ghost, ain't none of us going to heaven. Without the Holy Ghost, none of us had ever got saved. It takes the awakening of the Holy Ghost to show you you're a sinner. It takes the Spirit of God to live in us that we may walk in this world. Pouring in. Boy, I love the Spirit of God. He helps us. And then the Bible said that He poured in wine. It was medicinal purposes. And when one was cut, they would pour this in to heal those wounds. And also in the Bible, wine is a representation of joy. And so He met this man on the Jericho road and He poured in oil, poured in wine and rubbed on him. And you know, I'll never forget the day that when Jesus came to me, when He poured something in, it changed my life. I become joyful. I become having a reason to fall in love with Him. And now look what He does. A lot of you say this, well now, I would get saved if I could live it. But look what the Bible says. He put Him on His own beast. I'm glad Jesus can walk it for us. I'm glad I don't have to walk this Christian life by myself. I've just simply got to yield to what He's wanting to carry me through on. Sometimes that is the beast of heartaches. The beast of burdens and the trials. The Christian life is not the simplest thing in the world. Matter of fact, sermons are a lot easier preached than they are lived. But there was a placing on. Jesus put Him on His own beast. And you've heard preachers, Brother Adam, say, you know, whenever you come, we're going to put you up over here. If you'll come down there and you want to come to our church this week and be in meeting, we'll put you up over there. Well, not only was they pulling up and putting on, but there was a putting up. Jesus took him to an inn. He didn't just leave him away. And tonight I'm going to start a series on the local church. This is what I want to say this morning. Isn't it amazing? Anytime we get saved, we find ourselves being connected to the church. He took him to an inn. And look what the Bible says. Jesus spent the night with them. Because he said on the morrow when he got up to leave. Do you remember the first night Jesus spent the night with you? It was a wonderful experience. I'll never forget 1981. There's a man come to my trailer on a Saturday and told me about Jesus. I never had a man do what he'd done, Brother Mike. He walked into my trailer and he looked at me and he asked me simply, "Are you saved?" There'd never been a man ask me that. Brother Randall, Brother Lee, when he did that, the Spirit of God rocked my world. What the old timers call conviction. In other words, the Spirit of God showed me that I wasn't right. One of the greatest days of my life. And then, when he carried him to an inn, I want to ask y'all something. Why would he carry him to this particular inn? I wonder why, after God has saved you, that he's brought you here to an inn. You know, I wonder when Jesus walked in with him. Now, just let my mind run out there and have a little imagination, man, but yet staying with the Bible. When Jesus walked in the inn with him, I wondered if somebody said, "His hair ain't cut right. Boy, he ain't driving what we driving, and he sure ain't dressing how we dressing. Why, he don't even smell like we smell." But you got to remember, it was the first night. And a lot of times when people get saved, the older Christians, they want them to become where they are overnight. But Lord, some of y'all's attitude, "I don't want to get to where y'all are in 20 years. Much less overnight. I don't want to get there in 20 years. Brought him to an end. God knows what he's doing. And not only is there a putting up, but lastly, there's a paying off. When he woke up in the morning, he turned to the host. And he gave them 2 pence. And he said, "This is what I want you fellas to know. If you spend more on him than what I give you, when I come back, I'll repay you." And I want to remind you, God will never be indebted to you or me. God is faithful. There's a payday someday. He said, "If you spend more than this, don't worry about it. I've got it covered." Miss Kathy, I want you to come. God has been so good to us. I want to give you all a thought a minute that a man shared with me this week in my cabin. You know, a lot of you don't know, but the man that preached last week has an amazing ministry. A large church. A lot of problems. He told me before he got here, he said, "Brother Ken, we're not seeing anybody saved much." I said, "We're not either." I said, "But God's ministering. God's here." Some man heard me say that in the cabin this week, and this is what he said. He said, "Brother Ken," he said, "you know, a lot of times we get caught up on just people getting saved. But," he said, "don't you realize that in a big inn or a big hospital, the place where they have babies is very small. But there's a lot of rooms for other people that are hurting, broken. What about them people? What about them that need ministering to? I didn't know what this young man stand up and say this morning to hook into this message. Do you know what he said? He said, thank you. Church, listen to your preacher this morning. We have approximately 60 missionaries out of this church going around this country preaching the gospel. I've never seen a more giving, faithful people to a mission program than you at Liberty Baptist Church. And I commend you for that as your pastor. I commend you. But I want to say this. Let's don't forget not only about reaching the world, but reaching across the pew. Jesus has brought you to an end. For one reason and one reason alone, He knew you would get help where He took you. Somebody said, well, Brother Ken, the church world is changing. No, the world's changing. God's church isn't changing. Our culture has changed. God's not changed about nothing. But I don't see Him trying to bang on that door at the end saying, let me out. Because he knows God brought him to a good place. He could have took him to any inn in town. But he chose to bring him to a certain place because he knew he would get that what he... Can I tell you, Jesus is interested in individuals. Ma'am, Jesus cares. Sir, you're not just a number in God's economy. Sister Peggy, we're individuals. God's brought us to an end. Glad it's a good place. Precious place. Some of you with young families, you say, well, man of God, I don't need that right now. It's coming a day. You're going to need others in the end. Brother Lee, this people, Brother Randall, I can just call and say, do y'all ever go through this? Had a man 75 years old, rode with me Saturday. He pulled over and said, Pastor, I want to ask you something. Has this ever happened to you? I said, yes, it sure has. You know what he said? Well, glory. I'm glad I'm not alone. You're not alone. We need each other. But the great Samaritan, as I parallel him to Christ this morning, I'm glad he walked right down in the middle, picked us up. What you need poured in this morning. Maybe you need to think about how good God's been to you. Some of you, the church is like a bucket list. Got that checked off today. Oh, it's something a lot greater than a bucket list. The God of glory come by and poured something in me and took me to a place. Some of you, you're bruised and hurting. I realize, Sister Becca and Brother Mitchell, they'll be going to the birthing facility in a few days, but it's just a small corner in that place. There are floors and floors of people that are hurting and need healing and fixing. And we better realize that at Liberty Baptist Church. What a great ministry God has entrusted to us. This morning, I wonder, whatever you need, as my sister plays, would you come this morning? Would you ask the Lord to help you with that you need? Maybe you just need to bring your children down and say, Lord, thank you for being good to me. Would you just mind Him this morning? If you're here and on that jet,